morning, we'll call the November 12, 2013 County Council meeting to order. Everybody enjoyed their day off yesterday. Everybody somebody thanked a veteran at some point in time. Mr. Lawson, approve the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning, Council. At this point, there are no amendments to the agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of October 29 and November 5. Any corrections or changes or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from Council?
Well, I got a notice. Yes, thank you. I got a notice of a class on at UD, the IPA, UD IPA, is putting on regarding takings, the law of takings. And I cannot go to that because I had previously made an appointment for something else, but just wanted to I can't make it, but I sure would like to know what happens, because they say there are new decisions that we didn't, that for the recent new decisions. So.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else from Council?
Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Somebody dropped off a newspaper from West Virginia to me, and it's referenced to coyotes. And I know Mr. Phillips was interested in all this, but there is a second coyote contest planned for this county, and they have a predator control board, and they have programs. And I highlighted a little bit of this, but they had a successful coyote contest, and it began in 2006, and they're continuing it. And what they do is they have like a three-day contest with cash prizes going to the hunter who harvests the biggest coyote. So I'm going to give this to Mr. Phillips, and maybe he can work up on a contest. He likes contests.
So you
thought that would be of interest?
Nope,
that's it.
Anything else from Council?
Okay. You would support this, Mr. Cole?
What, they're shooting the biggest coyote? Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what you come up with.
Okay. I would like to just acknowledge our three veterans, council members, Mr. Cole, Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Wilson, and thank them for their service to our country, sincerely.
Thank you, sir. Anything else from Council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first item on the agenda today is a presentation by Mr. Randall Wiedemann and Associates. They're going to give a presentation to Council on the Sussex County Airport Plan, a plan that was funded by the Delaware Department of Transportation. Mr. Wiedemann, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Got a little PowerPoint here to actually sort of jog my memory, but hopefully we'll be informative for you. We started this study last year, actually around October or November, and we finished it pretty much this summer, but there were, you know, some final types of things that we had to go through. And this should, you know, give you the benefit of our experience. We've been doing aviation planning work in the state for quite a long time. Just to get into it, the key issues that we identified for your airport started when we had a SWOT analysis of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. At that meeting or that workshop, the Airport Advisory Committee, the Georgetown Chamber of Commerce, and Sussex County attended. And that's where we had inputs from that to look at, you know, what it is that we were going to examine for the business plan. That led to a fairly long set of issues that I'm not going to go into right now. Just note that, you know, they're listed, you know, a number of them are listed right here, but a few things came out as being very important to this process. One was the retention of PATs, obviously. I mean, that's a huge economic generator for the county. Airport branding, some economic development activities out there, and and so forth. When we started the business plan, we had to get more familiar with the airport and what its mission was for the county. We came up with a mission statement that I think embodies pretty much what you're looking for at the airport, and that is the airport strives to be a Southern Delaware's first choice for business and personal air transportation, providing an engine for economic growth while maintaining operational safety, outstanding service, and a safe environment for aircraft owners, operators, and the flying public. That's pretty much mom, dad, and apple pie. I mean, it's hard to, to come up with something different there. You do have the old military layout, the triangle facility. One of those runways is closed. You have expanded the 422 to 5,500 feet. That expansion does give you an opportunity to sort of use that for branding purposes to attract corporate aircraft. We had to look at the landside area with the hangars and the vacancy rates. Of course, there was the PATS complex that is vital to the airport's economic performance. And, of course, you do have the industrial park, which is a part of the airport as well. We, as a part of our business planning process, we look at the competitive position of the airport and how it fits in to the competition, so to speak, of other airports that it has to deal with, so that, you know, it's not in a vacuum. It doesn't operate in a vacuum. There's pricing, there's facilities, all kinds of things that you have to compete with other airports for. And we also examine the financial performance, the historical financial performance of the airport, and it's historically operated at a deficit. And obviously the purpose of the business plan is to try to turn that process. You'll notice in 2012 there was sort of an anomaly just because there's a number of things that were happening. In 2013, the deficit was anticipated to go back up. That brings us to the revenue enhancement options that we examine. For one thing, we looked at airport branding and combined that with sort of a countywide branding process. And the reason that you would want to do that at all would be to attract, in one case, more corporate aviation, because that's where the money is in aviation. Those, every time they fill up the plane, they hire more people, they rent bigger spaces, and they have deeper pockets than the smaller guys. It's not that you ignore the small guys, it's just that every boat in the harbor goes up when the tide comes in. So we also talked about the development of more hangar space, because that's a revenue generator as well. The increased use of the airport by beach visitors, that's something that goes along with that branding. And then, of course, bringing in aviation-related businesses that would relate to PATS out there. We talked about the partnership that you have with Deltek. We actually initiated some conversations with Delaware State about a flight program, flight school. And oddly enough, they had already considered coming here. They ended up getting slammed with students up there and couldn't spare the airplanes. But we addressed that in the business plan as to how that might, you know, it would be beneficial to the airport to have a flight school here. We also talked about expanding the industrial park with property that you all already own in a different location. So those are things, along with rates and charges, that we looked at. Recommendations of the plan, well, they're divided sort of into management and policy actions, and then, of course, these revenue enhancement options, and then we looked at some financial pro formas. In other words, if you do all this stuff, how does that translate into dollars and cents, and then sort of summarize that process. Well, from the management side, there's always this issue of, does it cost more to do it, you know, with county employees or private employees? And there are certain things in airports that sort of lend themselves to privatization. One of that is like either mowing or snow removal or things like that. There's potential cost savings, and we've suggested that you might look into that. The other thing is, there were some safety issues that we considered while we were looking at it, and that is the safety training. Airports are, you know, they are technical places where you need to know what you're doing when you're on the field. And some of that safety training is something that we felt that if you basically, instead of having six part-time people out there, if you put two full-time people, train them, then you could sort of focalize that safety training in those people. We also looked at rates and charges and lease adjustments. Now, the other thing that we sort of spent some time on was the airport branding. And with that regard, we suggested a possible name change for the airport. Again, we've been through this a lot of times with different airports, and you know, change is not easy. So these are suggestions. They're not, I mean, you know, you can take them for what they're worth. The other thing that we recommended was a unified airport county logo and brand. In other words, that applied to the airport, and we even talked about the beaches, the beach communities as well, bringing all this into one sort of localized brand. And I'll give you some examples of how that's worked that you all already know about. We talked about a standalone airport website, an active social media, improved directional signage to the airport, something close, near and dear to our heart, because we do this kind of thing, is promotional brochures and marketing campaigns. But the possible name changes that we suggested, and again, these are suggestions, but they tell the location of the airport and what the airport does. Right now, Sussex County, there's a Sussex County, New Jersey. So if you have a Sussex County airport, it's kind of, I mean, it could be in a number of different places.
Every state has a Sussex
County. That's okay. Just to be clear.
On the East Coast, that is.
Yeah, so it could be anywhere. On the other hand, if you have a Southern Delaware regional airport, that can only be in one location. And if it's a regional airport, that's different from a county. There's a different connotation than a county airport. Or it could be Southern Delaware Coastal or Southern Delaware Business. But basically what you're doing is you're identifying where that airport is, not because nobody around here knows, but because you're trying to attract people from outside of here to this airport who don't know where it is, have not heard of it, but would understand what this, you know, what it means, particularly if they're going to a second home on the beach, or if they're, if they have, you know, vacation plans, or if they're visiting for business or something, instead of, you know, flying into Washington, driving over, or Philly, or whatever, or Salisbury even, this is an opportunity to take that brand and move it forward.
Back up, if you would.
Yeah.
Jetport versus airport. I've not heard that term used a lot.
Well, jetport is, I mean, typically, it is an older term, but it does describe the fact that you're looking for corporate activity. Sometimes they call it executive. They'll call it an executive airport, you know, Fort Lauderdale Executive or something like that. And they're, what they're trying to do is brand themselves as the business airport. So, again, that's, you know, you can take it or leave it, basically, on that.
Well,
but
I think
that's why.
Taken because it is a very important point.
Right.
We'll call it an all-inclusive airport.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It gets everybody.
We're the Southern Delaware Chicken Farmer Airport.
Yeah. Well, you've got that too. You know. I mean, there's.
They are number one. You know.
Not
tourists.
I don't want to bring that up.
What about this little airport in around Laurel?
Rooster chickens.
Will we still be Southern Delaware?
Yeah. Airport? Yes. And if you're Southern Delaware regional versus turf strip or something.
It's accurate though.
Regional is the term that defines an airport that has a larger reach.
Right.
And it's always a paved facility and typically over 5,000 feet to handle business aircraft.
And you said there's only similar airports to ours in that nine airports you cited. There's only maybe, like, there's like Dover is comparable, maybe Easton or something.
Easton, Salisbury.
Salisbury, obviously.
Yeah. There's four airports.
The rest of them are smaller.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Basically, the ones that have 5,000 or more
right.
are those four. And Easton has the preponderance of jets. I mean, they've got 18 jets and out of the 24 that are in that whole area. So they're doing quite well in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of things about this county branding concept. I don't know if anybody's been out to Colorado, but they have it's a big ski industry area. And just behind Denver up in the mountains is a place called Summit County. And Summit County has three major ski areas, Breckenridge, Copper Mountain, and Keystone. And they got together, decided that they were going to brand that area. And so they now call it Ski Summit County. So everybody contributes. They all have this image, and they have this marketing plan. And it goes to promote that brand, but all three of these different ski areas have a part in it, and they all benefit from it. One that is probably a little more directly applicable is one that you heard on, and that's the Outer Banks. And, that goes from the north, from Duck down to Kitty Hawk, to Nag's Head, to Waves, to Salvo, to, all the way down to the lighthouse. And in our neck of the woods, which is Kentucky, there are people all, you get behind them and they've got that OBX on the back of their car window. Well, that's the kind of brand and the kind of name recognition that you want if you're going to attract people to the beaches, Lewis and Rehoboth and, all the places down in the county that, even though they're different communities, would be able to benefit from a unified brand. The airport itself would benefit from that. And I don't know, we once took a trip to Hawaii, and in Waikiki, we noticed that Waikiki itself has a brand. And all these different hotels, we don't know who it is that pays for the fireworks that they haul out into the harbor every night, but somebody is paying for that. And so those common elements that go to make this brand are something that we think would be valuable for the county, not just the airport, but you include the airport in that. That's a little, branding 101 process here. The other thing that we talked about was effective partnering with your FBO, because your fixed base operator is the face of Sussex County to many air travelers. So they need to be involved in your marketing program, your branding program. They need to buy into that and essentially help with that process if it's going to be effective to the customers that come here. The other thing that you're doing right now is you are embarked in extending the runway to keep Pats here. That, we think, is a vital process that needs to continue, obviously. Other thing that we looked at were minimum operating standards, airport rules and regulations, those types of things that need to be updated periodically, and airport security systems. Things have changed, and as they change, security systems need to be upgraded as well, particularly surveillance systems. So those were the management options. The revenue enhancement options, there's some dovetail here, but the key thing that we looked at was the attraction of more corporate aviation. We talked about the 24 base jets in the service area. There's 61 additional jets in Delaware. So, if this is a more convenient location than wherever they are right now, you would benefit tremendously. They could be, there's a possible win-win. The GA tourism that we talked about, which is something that would be great to sort of tap, apparently there's about 6 million visitors annually that visit this 31-mile beach area. 35,000 second homes That's the most in the count, in the state, obviously. But they generate almost $900 million a year in revenue. So what we are suggesting in the plan was that you work with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, with the airport, to include the airport in those promotions, the countywide branding efforts, of course. The other thing is, people like to just point and click. They don't want to, they like a McDonald's type experience. If the prepackaged tour is already developed, that works. If they have to arrange it themselves and put together all the ground transportation, the air and all that kind of thing, that is a much more difficult sale, because those who are not here have a much more difficult time than to take advantage of something that's prepackaged. So that's just something to consider as well.
Now, is that something we should do, or the private sector?
Well,
prepackaged
the private sector would ultimately do it, but the origination of the coordination of that process is probably more of a county type thing, where you would begin to inquire, look, we want to set up, are there any people who are interested in this? Sometimes we've seen like a Chamber of Commerce get involved and some other things, and quite frankly, it would be a part of the branding process. Because this is the feet on your brand. In other words, this is what implements your brand. So you would have something like that go, hand in hand with the brand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is included in that? You said $900 million, $890 million per year that the second homes are generating.
I'm assuming that those are the total economic impacts from people coming in, either renting the houses, so that would be the rentals.
It's not money coming to governments.
No. It's the total expenditures of the tourism,
food, restaurants, or hotel, everything, all that
hotels,
stuff. Whole package.
Right, everything.
Along with taxes, along with impact fees.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, correct. Hangar rentals, we recommended that's an area of revenue that there are private operators out there that would be willing to invest money to develop hangars. They would pay you ground rents, and that's a thing that you would want to look for. The flight school was a concept. Actually, Rob Barber helped with that. He talked with Steve Speed up at Dell State, who runs that program. And that, if you had two aircraft down here, you could have a satellite program down here. That would add operations, fuel sales, maintenance. I mean, there's all kinds of other economic impacts that come along with that.
If we had, what are you talking about? Who would own those?
What's that?
Who would own those?
That would be, what we're saying is, right now, the state, or Dell State, would be the owner.
Owner.
And we were talking about the possibility of getting involved with them on the possibility of whether there's a grant process or whatever to help them purchase an airplane that would then pay for itself through the fees of the students and so forth.
For the flight school.
Okay. Yes.
Is there anything in the works to make that happen at this point?
Not now. I mean, we except for the business plan, we've suggested it.
Right.
Yeah.
The amount we looked at.
You gotta come up.
Please take the microphone. Oh, I'm sorry. That's fine. The amount we looked at was around $100,000.
All right, who are you?
I'm Rob Barber. I work with Randall Wiedemann. I'm a senior associate with R.A. Wiedemann Associates. The amount we discussed was around $100,000. That's very fluid. That could be more or less. But that would help acquire two twin-engine aircraft, similar to what they have already up at Delaware Air Park. And they would obviously rotate those throughout their stable. They have maintenance crew and all of that available. But they could get those used, upgrade them as needed with avionics and whatnot. But that would get them jump-started to where they could actually have the program here locally as well as up in Kent County.
Is two-engine required?
No. It's not required. It's highly desired.
You know, a lot of the students that are coming in there want to learn because they're going on either to military or corporate air fleets. They have pilots in most of the major airlines and a lot of the regional airlines already that are graduates of their program. So multi-engine is a desirable trait.
Yeah, I think.
So why would they want to move from Dover down here and travel further to go to flight training?
It's not so much that they'd move from Dover here. You've got people here going to Dover that want to learn how to fly. And so, and there may be a lot of a draw, and they apparently did a study and felt that their program could be sustained down here as well as a branch or a satellite operation.
Did you include any specific economic impact of that we could
That exceeded what we were doing for the business plan. Basically, my job is to prospect and find gold nuggets, and that was a potential gold nugget worth digging up. Thank you.
And obviously, we can delve into any of these that you would like. We did look at non-aviation options. You know, you do have property at the airport that doesn't actually have to be used for aviation purposes. So why not turn that into revenue production? We looked at a number of different things, and obviously, the industrial park land lent itself, you know, just because of the nexus of the industrial park that's already there, the private industrial property that's next door. We also looked at the possibility, because you already have PATS, of getting some complementary MRO, which is a maintenance, repair, and overhaul type outfit that could help them, for example, paint shops or something like that could help them out there. We also looked at the financial performance associated with the recommended plan. The only thing I would point out here is that when we did the baseline, which is not shown, in year 2022, the deficit was something on the order of $356,000, something like that. With the recommended plan, we're seeing that number come down. And I guess the important part here is the trajectory. You're moving toward self-sufficiency, and in essence, that is the goal, you know, to lower, you know, the deficit each year. The thing that we would point out, we just finished doing a statewide economic impact study. Sussex County Airport was one of those primary airports that we looked at. We're giving that presentation at 4:00 today, but I thought I'd give you a preview here just so that you know what that $169,000 or $159,000 buys you. The airport sustains 872 jobs totally, $140 million in spending, $51 million in wages, and $6.9 million in state and local taxes. So it's a net generator of economic impact to the county in a very significant way, and in essence, a very good return on investment, you know, from, you know, any kind of a measuring standpoint. Okay.
I have questions when you're ready.
Okay. Let me, I'm just wrapping up. The summary, just to go back down really quickly, the airport branding, countywide branding, that was a major recommendation. Mm-hmm. Increasing the business activity and the tourism through marketing and branding, retaining PATS, looking for privately funded hangar development, seeking a flight school, obviously through Dell State, developing non-aviation industrial park property. And then the management items were to implement a safety training program, compare contract services with, you know, public provision of those, install video surveillance, update the operating documents and leases as needed, and working with your FBO on a branding image. So with that, we're done. I'm glad to take questions.
I appreciate the very artful presentation. could you tell me quickly, what is our goal here? Is it, and I'd like to know what our overall goal here is with this study, and what are the limits that the airport has? And you're talking about a deficit, and I'd like to know more about that.
Okay. The goal, one of the goals, is to increase financial production at the airport. We also had some, other goals that were to improve the operational efficiency. That for the management policy things, we were looking at those items for the revenue enhancement items, we were looking for the financial production. So those were kind of the two-phased sets of outcomes that we were looking for.
Well, haven't you observed that we have been working on that? I'm just curious.
Okay. No, you've been doing great.
Yes, okay.
No, I don't know.
We're going in the same direction.
Yeah, absolutely. No, maybe I should add, oftentimes when you do a business plan, you just focus on those areas that need to, tweaking and whatnot.
Right.
I need to say that you have a very well-run airport. You have an extremely great situation with PATS. The fact that the industrial park is right there, co-located with the airport. This is what many, many counties would love to have. I mean, they would trade their IT for something like this.
I think it's
so fabulous. You are in a fantastic position.
Right.
And basically have done a great job. We're just sort of putting the icing on the cake here as to how you might tweak it to even do better.
What are the limits as far as that location's concerned? Well, the size of, runways, that type of thing. Where do you see the limits?
Okay.
Traffic problems,
okay, yeah. Uh-huh. No, because of the activity out there, you're not in any danger of reaching capacity. The only capacity that you're really going to reach is the length of the runway capacity, and that's for the customers that want to come in with, say, a Boeing 757 or something like that for PATS. So in other words, to service that business, you need a runway that's long enough so that they don't have to consider going elsewhere.
Right.
You want the business here because
every
one of those airplanes is a multi-million dollar job, and that means, benefits for everybody that works there and lives in the county.
I lived near an airport near the coast between Lewis and Rehoboth, and I would see those planes pop in and out on a constant basis. And I'm just wondering, I wonder if they ever, when it was closed, I wonder if they ever used our central airport, Sussex County Airport.
Right.
But I have no way of knowing. But they were very, very busy.
Yeah, and I assume, and just talking to Jim, that you do get beach traffic right now.
Mm-hmm.
And had I thought about it, we'd have cut out maybe that. We did a video for this statewide economic impact study, and we would have cut out the Sussex County portion and maybe shown it here today, but it's being unveiled at 4:00, basically. So, and there is a portion on that, and I think Jim is quoted in there saying that that's one of the ways people get to the beach, if they're coming in by air. So they stop at this airport.
And they're... Presumably, you're talking about a package to get them to the beach, actually.
Right. If you get here and you have no way to get to the beach, then it defeats the purpose of the convenience of flying in. So.
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yeah, Mike, I got it.
Sure, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, it seems like there's a big emphasis on PATS, which
yes.
PATS does a heck of a job out there. But you know how the corporate world is, so it could get bought out tomorrow. And the next thing you know, we have no PATS.
Right.
What happens to a business plan like this if in a couple years, we've geared all up and everything else? I know we have the coast, the beach, and that's another kind of a twofold question. We get 6 million visitors, as you said, which is excellent. But I've been to conferences, and over the years, I've kind of come to the conclusion, I don't know if we need 7 million visitors.
Right.
Or 8 million visitors.
Right.
My argument has always been we ought to do a better job with the 6 million that we're getting now and see what we can do and provide for them. So if this plan kind of fits into that scenario, I can see it. I think for the quality of life of the people who live and reside in Sussex County, we already have so many infrastructure problems. especially in the coastal area, and that's where that's the big draw. It's not skiing, it's not all this other stuff, but it's that ocean. And I don't, like I said, with all the people in the second homes, and there was a lot of affluence in that coastal area. Anyway, my concern was also, so I, in other words, I don't want to see a plan try to increase, you know, maybe the population or whatever, but I, again, want to provide a service for the 6 million people that are here. The other thing is, if Pats leaves, what happens? What would be the impact on our overall plan out there that we were operating?
The plan, I mean, the airport obviously is not just to serve Pats.
Yeah.
You have other jet aircraft, other itinerant users that come in. The airport is a unique facility for this area. If you look around and you try to find an airport with over 5,500 feet or 6,000 feet in the area, you're going to be out of luck. I mean, the closest, I guess, is Salisbury, what, 6,400 or something? Something like that.
Right.
Anyway, you're going to be hard-pressed to find that. And businesses that are looking, in other words, I don't think you were seeking Pats. They found you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it's.
I think that's what happened. And I believe also that's exactly what happens if you have the facilities.
I don't know if anybody, weren't they in Maryland and just came over, right? They weren't too far away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is if you have the infrastructure, a lot of times what will happen is people that are actually looking, that you have no clue as to who they are, they will show up on your doorstep. And, you know, I mean, we've been at airports where, you know, the people say, well, it's just dumb luck. You know, they showed up, we had the facilities, we had what they wanted, and they had a business need, and they showed, and they were here. And that's exactly what you're providing. It just so happens you have a paying customer right now.
Right.
A lot of other airports don't have that paying customer. They're providing the service. And I would just address the other thing about the 6 to 7 million. The percentage of people who are going to fly in versus drive in is a very, very small percentage, but it's a very, very highly affluent percentage that is going to benefit you in ways that the driving population is not going to benefit you. And in terms of how much they spend at the airport, what they do at the you know, the whole thing. And so in other words, it's part of that, it's a very small part, but it's a part of that overall portfolio of services and facilities that are important to bringing that group here.
Also, years ago, we had Leona Helmsley.
Yes,
supposedly used
I
to,
do remember
you know that.
That
story then. She used to keep her airplane here, and the argument was and her pilot, I believe, lived here, and when she needed her plane, she'd give a phone call, and it would go from here to New York to pick her up.
That's right.
Because of our fees were so much more reasonable. Is I mean something like that to appeal to?
Oh yeah, I mean there's the
people
know,
that kind of affluence to the convenience of and the savings I guess of parking a jet here.
Well, and that's exactly the whole concept behind looking at doing something at the Civil Air Terminal with regard to some of these large air cargo carriers. They can't afford JFK, but they could afford parking overnight at the Civil Air Terminal. So things like that are economically based, and, you are in a better position to charge less than some of these larger facilities.
And that's not one of our limits. In other words, we have plenty of room for additional parking, is what you're saying.
Yes, you do. You have a whole interior of the
right. Mm-hmm.
of the facility.
I don't know. My assumption was she parked hers in a big hangar.
She did.
Right. So would we need more more hangars? Like, I mean, the county has built some hangars, right? We've built some to speculate. Would we be wise to build stuff that size? A couple?
The only way that you, I mean, we don't advocate if you build it, they will come anymore. Basically.
Anymore?
Yeah.
Well, you used to do that.
That used to, in the old days, that was, in the 70s, that was probably the thing to do. Today, you get a pre-sale, you get a commitment, you get deposits, and then you put it down because basically they're financing your construction.
Oh, yeah.
And so it does work that way.
Streamline the process.
Rich Phillips.
First, I'd like to say this has been one of the most comprehensive and thoughtful presentations I've heard in a long time. And I guess a thank you to the state and the Department of Transportation for paying for it. I do wonder if it's in a digital format that it could be posted on our website. Already there. That's wonderful. Didn't hear a word about the restaurant, but that's fine. I think right now it's in good hands. I do think we need to thank previous councils. This council and Mr. Vincent have pressed hard for the extension of the runway. But the vision for this airport started long before us. Maybe Mr. Cole was here way back in the day. Frank Callio was the airport manager.
I remember Frank, yeah.
Bob Stickles, of course. Dave Baker is finance director. Dale Dukes is the president of the council. All, I believe, pressed very hard to see this airport develop to what you call the envy of a lot of other counties.
It is.
We are running a deficit. I thought that you pointing that out, that in 2012 we were still $85,000 in the red. You believe that implementing some of these points could bring us out of a deficit?
Ultimately, yes. I mean, and obviously that's the trajectory that you want to go. It's going to take some time just because there's a lot of built-in things that, leases, some of those leases are 40 years, and you can't change them until they expire. So there are some time constraints on it, but I believe that you're headed in the right direction.
Is there one thing that sticks out to you as most important that we do to maybe get in a positive revenue position?
Well, I think the runway extension that you've just added, that is something new. In other words, if there's something different, that's it. So, in other words, if you were going to change your brand, why change the brand if nothing has changed? Well, now something has. That's an opportunity that you have to actually do something to, sort of crow about it and say, look, this is new. Look at us. We've got something going, and here's what we're doing it for. And it's not just Pats. It's anybody that has a high-performance aircraft that wants to come in here. Look at what we can do now, whereas, you may not have been able to come before. Now you can.
So continue to press for the extension to 6,000 feet after the 5,500 is all
said and done. Yes.
At 6,000 feet, we are afforded the ability to utilize some type of technology. Is it VFR or control?
There's an ILS or a GPS, precision instrument landing. I'm not completely familiar with what you're looking at, but I do know that obviously airplanes that are going to be using that are all highly instrument rated, and they are looking for a precision approach to the airport.
Is that what it's called?
Well,
is Jim Higgin here?
Yes, he is.
He would know. What is it we're after with respect to getting that 6,000 feet? It affords us the ability to.
Well, it gives us the ability to lower our, what they call our instrument approach minimums, which increases the amount of the percentage of time you can land in bad weather. There's precision approaches and non-precision approaches, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but precision lets you get as close to the runway and as low to the ground as possible, and that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we're also getting there with the 5,500-foot runway. We'll have a new set of instrument approaches next year when they come out that's going to improve our capability. We've talked about instrument approach landings or instrument landing systems in the past, ILS, which is a ground-based antenna system. Those are going away, especially for airports like ours, and being replaced with a satellite-based system, which gives you the same capability and actually a better capability. So,
and we expect to get that next year?
We have that now.
Okay.
We have GPS approaches to both ends of the runway. It's just a matter of how close to the ground, how close to the runway can you get and still be in the clouds.
So we no longer are going to get the ILS?
Right.
Okay.
We'll still have that capability, and most airplanes, especially the larger ones, have that capability.
Mm-hmm. Can airplanes can land at night now there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, very good job. Thank you.
I have one more thing I want to ask you. A lot of new people live in my district, and they didn't know we had an airport. I mean, many of them. And I believe that you are so right about branding it and letting people know it's available. Are we looking toward, and people ask me, do you think there'd ever be a commuter there, service there? Is that a limit that we need to look at, or is that not a possibility?
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, and I could be wrong, but from my experience, the airline service business is consolidating for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And a commuter operation, I mean, it's amazing that you have one in Salisbury, but
okay,
you're close enough there to where they would not, they would be eating their own passengers by doing a second.
Likely is what you're
probably
saying.
Probably not, yeah.
Okay. And do you see any limits as far as noise, with the additional flights, that type of thing, from the people that live there?
I haven't seen the studies, but I do know that, noise is a function of the level of operations and the type of aircraft. And you don't have the...
So there's no study.
You don't have the number of operations that you need to really... have a problem. We did, a study, and this was for the state earlier on property values relative to, proximity to the airport. And one of the things that we found for this airport was that, the property values were not significantly impacted by the airport's presence, typically, residential property would be more significantly impacted. Commercial activity on the other side usually is positively impacted by an airport, which up in, for example, Newcastle, it's exactly that way. The industrial property is very highly impacted. The further away you get from the airport, the less it's worth. The closer you are, the more it's worth. It's just the opposite with the residential side. So there is this, but that's a very, very busy airport, and people know that it's there. Here, if people don't know it's there, then it's not impacting their life that much.
Well, we're talking about really expanding the uses, though. So
yeah.
I'm just looking at the parameters. What would be the limits that way and this way and the other?
You're never going to get, let's put it this way. You probably are not going to get to the point where noise is going to be a concern given the level of operations that
you have. Or maybe we want it to be the higher level of operations.
Yeah, right.
So it's not a worry.
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any influence over the Newcastle County Airport? I really enjoy flying out of there on Frontier, but their terminal is the worst I've ever been. It's like
I think
third
they're
world.
Addressing that. Yeah, they're aware of that.
Somebody needs.
Any more questions to the council? Thank you very much. Nice presentation.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Very worthwhile. Thank you very much. Mr. Lawson.